Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Dorian, and you're listening to Highway to Scale. It's a podcast in which we explore the ins and outs of business success, and where we cover topics like validating business ideas, exploring different management styles, building products, launching them on the market, raising capital, and scaling your business. If this is your first time listening to Highway to Scale, make sure to click on that subscribe button and add us to your podcast playlist so you get notified when we publish new interviews. And if you want to be a guest on the show, get in touch with me on LinkedIn. In today's episode, I'm joined by Toms, who is the COO of DeskTime. It's a time tracking and time management tool which solves a variety of productivity and management challenges by providing answers to questions such as what's been done, how long have I been working, how much time is spent on a certain project, and many more. It provides detailed data about programs and apps used, time spent in meetings and on projects, and it also has a number of built-in HR features for running a business, managing teams, and saving the company's time and money. As for Toms, he's a time management expert and a paranoid planner who likes to plan everything and every day, from small things to large projects. His life is guided by the motto that says done is better than perfect, and he is deeply interested in all things marketing, sales, customer experience, user experience, and SaaS. In this podcast, Toms will tell us more about the importance of timing when it comes to growing a startup, how to adjust marketing strategies to fit the new normal, and how to keep a business on the growth path regardless of the situation it finds itself in. So let's cut the intro and let's jump right into the episode to see what Toms can teach us about building a business.
Toms, it's so great to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Hello, Dorian. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Toms, let's start with the basics. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about, your business career?
Sure. DeskTime, as you mentioned, is automatic time tracking software. It's born in Latvia, in Europe. And then the ownership went to live in the USA, and it was managed from there in the beginning, but the roots been always came from Latvia, where is the headquarters at the moment. And how it grown up, how it all started, it started 10 years ago with the need to understand how we can do better for our employees, how we can give more flexibility, how we can give more freedom for employees. So we needed some kind of tool that, of course, the owners, founders of the businesses can follow the projects, the tasks, the time employees do at the work, but at the same time they can keep as flexible and easy as the employees want.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm getting this correctly, you started DeskTime as an internal tool,
yes,
and then you realized, exactly, Okay, this is great, let's give it to others.
Yeah, so it was just an idea that we want to achieve, what we want to see, and what we want to give to employees. There was no such tools 10 years ago. At the moment now, if you search like time tracking tool, software, anything in the Google, you'll find hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of tools with different features, mostly similar, but anyway, they are all a little bit different. At that time, it wasn't so common. That's why, as a tech company, we decided to do it ourselves. And yeah, here it was. Like half a year later, we had this first option, which we started to use ourselves, and already felt that this is something we can sell as well. Why to keep it for ourselves? And we gave it away out in 2011 for our customers to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at the moment, this is a third DeskTime version we have created. Of course, already thinking about fourth one, but yeah, 10 years passed.
That's great. That really sounds amazing. Can you tell me what are some of the major goals you wish to achieve with Destime?
Well, from the financial side or business side, of course, it's we want to get as much as possible from the market share because looking at the moment from our competitors that were born around the same time Destime was born, we are really keeping the area of 5 to 7 top competitors. And we would like to do the and get the market share as much as possible. That's the business goal. But the other goal is, and what we try to do additionally all the time, we try to educate people around the world. Desktime is has been and is used in every country in the world, and even more in even more territories. So if we try to educate people how to track time, why to track time, why there is need of time management, and what Desktime can provide and time tracking in general can provide. So we try to educate end users, employees, the business owners, and we would like to become some kind of leader of this education. And also we would like to achieve that users, people, employees, whatever is the role, would understand this time tracking goal or business, how can it could help to them without seeing any negative impact of that, which is, of course, in some of the countries, how it's being used. But we always, from day one, we decided to create Desktime. We were always going only with the positive side about giving freedom, flexibility for employees and not any other options.
Yeah, that's a great approach that you mentioned. A lot of people started working remotely from homes. You just have the need to, know what your employees are doing, what you, if you're a freelancer, what you are doing, how are you investing your time on a certain project that you're working on.
Yes, exactly. That's something it should be very important for everyone because, again, whatever is the role, or you owner business, or you are an employee, or you are a freelancer, I believe everyone has a lot of things to do. It's not about work only. It's about general, about your work-life balance, about how you manage your time when you go and get your kids to kindergarten and to school, when you food, when you clean house, when you work. And there is only 24 hours in a day, and you need to sleep as well, and which is very important to sleep. So Desktime and time trackings show all that together, and you can do it and use it not only for work but also for your individual needs, and the time management is very, very important in our days.
Now, another question I had, can you tell me more about how Desktime is now set up as a company? What kind of specialists do you employ? What are you currently focused on the most?
Yeah, at the moment, and actually from day one, it's an interesting approach that we have taken, and it still works, that we try to use the outsource resources as much as possible. So what that means, we have companies, freelancers or agencies that work for us. We hire for dedicated or not dedicated hours that they need to do, and we can not to hire and people into the company. We can use when we need. It's I could say it's a Fiverr, but just some kind of agreement Fiverr that they know the product. We have introduced the product. We have onboarded and everything done, so they can do their job with paid advertising, with SEO, with content, with marketing, with social networks, with paid marketing, with whichever what is needed for us, we do that. One key thing that we keep inside because of the privacy and everything is development. That's always basically been inside. So we have developers is the are the most at the moment. So of course we have current local support that's needed everyday life, and we have the marketing design, sales inside the key directors, managers who manage all that. But most of the stuff we try to keep outside to be more flexible and to add or decrease the amounts more flexible.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that your industry is very competitive. Can you tell me what makes this time better than some other applications in the same niche? What differentiates you?
Yeah, again, coming back to the flexibility and everything, we are focused and trying to focus on productivity especially. So if other time tracking tools are focused on job done or really only time tracking in general, then we try to show the results of productivity and effectiveness for our users, that they can compare how the company, how the teams, how the employees work, if there is a need to compare the productivity, and they can see itself themselves. So that means that you can categorize the applications, URLs or projects into the productive, unproductive or neutral ones. And from that, there is productivity that is creating and showing up. So everyone can measure that as well, not only the hours I have worked. So, yeah, we try to go a little bit deeper and to be on this productive side.
Okay, that sounds great. I want to switch the topic onto you, especially you in your COO role. Can you tell me what are you currently focused on the most? What does your day look like?
Oh, yeah, the day is pretty chaotic, I would say, from one side, because still we don't call ourselves as a startup anymore, like in everyday life, but somehow we are jumping between the startup and with very agile business. And that's why the roles, and also with that we have many agencies or freelancers working outsource. We as a managers need to switch to the different tasks and workloads are very different. And my personally, my daily life is based on the general team management that all the managers, other managers are feeling good, that they have everything they need, that they understand everything. And also it's the second one is the product thing, that I'm working with the product. I know the product very well. So if we have any people that are changing or need any help with how the product or how it should be working or what approach we should take, I'm helping marketing, sales, support, development teams with how, which product way we go, what we develop, how it should work, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, two kind of things: the team management and the product side is my daily basis. And you probably know how many small things can get on each of those sides. Then there is a problem with a teammate, and there is a problem with the product checkbox in settings or something else that we need to solve. So it takes a lot of time sometimes for really small things, but I'm there for everyone.
That's great. So can you describe, let's say, your cooperation with the CEO of Desktime Artists? What does it look like?
Yeah, Well, artists is also, as we all, we are all very friendly, casual. We really don't go very official. So we have, of course, one-to-one meetings, especially if I'm talking about me, then we have a situation that we have bi-weekly meetings with artists, and we talk over all the things, and then I go, and of course with other managers we talk over and develop and go further with the business, but I'm regularly talking with artists, and then we have heads up meetings once a quarter with the team, with all the team, and then he's also joining us and showing the data and talks about how we go. And of course, once a year, we all have the heads up meeting that we do. Also, artists is participating in all our meetings, or more, I would say, those are the not work-related meetings, team-building meetings. Set up that we go once a quarter for a team building. We take 1 or 2 days off, everyone, and we go all together without the agencies, without the freelancers, only the core staff. We go and do some team building activities, or is it some kind of bike riding, or is it whichever the is decided on each weather, or it's somewhere indoors, a restaurant or something. He's always participating, and we do all together, and there is an option to talk and ask questions and stuff like that. So it's really we keep it casual and do it all together.
In your career at this time, what would you say were your biggest successes, and what were some of the failures you did, and you know, what did you learn from them?
Yes, that's a big thing that we talk over all the time with all other teams and managers, that one thing we want to do is not to step on others' failures. So we try to learn always before we do our own failures. But of course, it doesn't happen all the time. And well, the failures are different. For users, maybe the interesting ones are that we are in some kind of function or product launch, and everything is 100% prepared, 100% tested, and it's all set. And then the newsletter goes out, and we of course understand it's incorrect list we have sent it. So, but or we have created the function and went it live, but it's actually not live because someone missed to press enter button or it didn't press. So, yeah, very very different and funny and not so funny moments. But the earth doesn't stop.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
Everything is still going, and we all are people, and we can apologize and revert, and in the tech world, it's very good that we can revert things. It's not something we do in real life. If I will say something to you, then I will not be able to revert that. But in the tech world, we can revert. No one will see and know about that. And
So on the flip side, what would you say were your major successes, major achievements that you're really proud of?
Oh, Dorian, you know, it's so hard to tell. It's so hard to evaluate yourself or to even to remember all these successes. But, you know, it's I guess something that's for me personally inside, that I'm always grateful when I can agree and make agreement with the clients or partners that we have, and solve those such things and issues, and that's something that I'm always happy for.
So you mentioned sales and marketing. Can you tell me what kind of activities do you focus on the most at this time, you know, to increase the number of your users, to increase retention?
Yeah, well, the marketing, I think, is quite simple, if I can say that, as we do all the needed and regular marketing activities, starting from the SEO. So you research the keywords, you research what's your business about, and then you write content about. So to help people find your business, define the software, define. So it's much easier. So we do all that, and we are focusing on our keywords that we know and about our topics we want to write and what we want to educate, as I mentioned. That's the content marketing. Then, of course, we have paid marketing where we go to all biggest tools and paid pay for search, for display marketing and social marketing and everywhere. So that's the usual stuff. And of course, it's always something where we can put more money in and we can change the display ads and make the content better. So that's a regular thing that we work and try to increase and do better. From the sales and success and support teams, that there is a thing that maybe it's unusual for many, that we don't do cold calling. We don't and try to reach cold audience. We have tried that, but also following our niche, that cold calling is not here. So the product is so deep and the niche is something that people or businesses need to understand themselves before they are ready to talk about that. So what we try to do, we try to warm the audience with the display ads or some kind of information in social media. And then when they are ready, they visit our website, and then this is where we go from. When they sign up for the free trial, they try it out, then we see, yes, there is an interest, then the sales team connects and helps to onboard. Because, and again, we don't try to do any like sales. We try really to educate and help the businesses and the people to understand how the tool works, why it's needed, because the tools are very, very many tools in the market, and probably they don't have much time to try all the tools out. So we try to understand what's the main things and trying to solve the issue as soon as possible for the businesses. And the same for support. Try to do it fast, not wasting our time, not wasting client time, so they can do the best support and best sales they can do in the fastest time they can do.
So how many users do you currently have on the platform?
So we have working and using desk time around 50,000 companies at the moment. But of course, in 10 years, we are keeping and soon going to be close to 1 million end users that have went through desk time and tried it out, purchased for some time and so on. So, but at the moment, around 50,000 users.
So 2020 was, you know, challenging for all of the businesses. Did it affect you? And in what way?
I think there is no such business that was not affected. The question is up or down. Also, the neutral line was not possible. Yes, but we are happy that we were on the side that the business was growing up at that time. And we were happy that we were a useful tool for many businesses that went remote, that went from work from home, or and understood somehow where mentioned or saw our posts, blogs, education, webinars that we do and remembered about us. And we saw that from where customers came, we saw that many and the most of the new customers in the pandemic in the first months came from the brand search, from the brand awareness. That means they knew about our brand, and that was really, really good that we felt appreciated that we'd done our job before. Mm. Good that customers chose our brand. And yes, it went up. It went up really quick, really, really. It was a huge push for us at that time as well. And from today, I think we have doubled our income since 1 year ago. So we did in less than 2 years everything we even more that we be able to do in previous 8 years.
So on a strategy basis, what did you need to adapt, you know, to be able to handle that multiplication of users in such a short period of time?
Yeah, that side was, I would say, as I always say, it was quite easy actually, because mm-hmm. Okay. There was you just need to multiple developers, support, sales, marketing, and servers, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You multiple that, and you are ready to continue. You just need more hands. Yeah, you just need more hands that can support and help in the same level, the same, don't losing any capabilities or support hours and stuff like that. You just need more hands. And that's what we were ready. We did that in a very short time, and we didn't lose any customer because of they didn't feel appreciated or didn't get the call or something. Mm-hmm.
So from your COO perspective, when it comes to growth, continuous growth of the company, what do you think are some of the prerequisites or some of the necessary aspects that every company needs to cover?
Well, from the business side, it's definitely looking forward and looking how it's going to change, and each team to predict the growth. So when mm-hmm. we can predict growth, then it's important to predict people we need in the team and predict the changes that will happen when growing. From the team side, it's important to, if your team is growing, it's important to keep the same casualties there, and to do the same things with the team, that they don't feel too stretched out or something, that the business is growing and they don't feel necessary or important to the team. So that's why, as I mentioned, we have these team building activities and all hands meetings and everything that we really keep, and we want to do it as much as possible. And of course, something is changing when the business is growing, when the team is growing, mm-hmm. but we try to keep it, and we still keep, as I mentioned, the outsource companies, the agencies, the freelancers that work for us outsource, so we can keep our family inside the team in the business as small as possible. But again, as we can cover all the things we need to do.
Yeah, this approach really keeps you extremely flexible, because you're never under pressure to, you know, quickly hire a large number of people, because you can just quickly use freelancers, use another agencies, and you're good to go.
Yes, exactly. And that was also that really definitely helped us in 2020.
So now you mentioned, you know, predicting the way the business should grow. When it comes to your industry, what are some of your predictions, let's say, for 2022 or 2023?
Well, definitely we see that each day we can find some kind of new competitors coming out. we can see that some of them are trying to copy us. And that's, of course, from one side, it's good that we see that we are someone who can expire and show people and businesses how to do business. And from the other side, yes, that's something we need to do, is to try and think of the future, how we can keep our positions, how we can compete with these new businesses, with new technologies and more flexible startups and fast-growing startups that they have investors. Descam is bootstrapped business without investors, so we don't have just money to wait. I would say wasted, but
waste or burn,
But we see many competitors that they have such money, and that doesn't help to us. But for us, helps that we are with the past, with the content, with the SEO, with the strategy, with the business and customer base. And in the future years, I see that the pricing policies will change definitely. The functions or products will change and will be divided with the companies, because the time tracking itself is very like small and short, would say. There is not so much where to expand. So Descam and we see competitors are working with new features that try to relate to time tracking and to make the tools like all-in-one tools for businesses. And that's where I see, in general, software as a service or cloud services are going, that trying to do as more, as much functions, products in one tool as possible.
In one tool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that the Descam is completely bootstrapped. Are you maybe considering raising outside capital, or is that not currently on the horizon?
It's not on the horizon. So yeah, a little bit. I didn't maybe mention in the brief that Descam is. I mentioned that we are a Latvian root company, but the owners moved to the US. So we had a US address, and we are from the corporation with other companies. So this is where the money came from, and the biggest corporation, the biggest business in the corporation is a Printful, dropshipping business that is print on demand and working all around the world, and one of the leading dropshipping businesses in the world. So this is how all the businesses are growing in the corporation. That if you have a business idea or there is a need, there is a incubator or business money that can be taken to create your own startup, the business, and see if it will succeed. And if that's successful, then you don't need any outside investors, and you can do it yourself, and the business can grow.
So you're a part of a group with multiple companies that each support each other when it comes to, you know, building new companies or new features or new ideas, new startups.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that it's called Drawgame Group, and yes, the most famous one is the Printful, which is a 1 billion company at the moment.
Nice.
Still growing.
What are some of your, you know, concrete future plans with the company?
Yeah, well, next couple of years probably will take us to the three main sides. One is the still keep the education process and writing about the time management and all around that. And we try to go as far as possible with that, talking to the people and getting people know about time management things and options and everything. The second thing is that we will definitely keep growing in function side, new functions, new products, everything that we can expand, and also will be, and maybe divide different products in the future. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how it goes and what will be the need, and how we will work it out. And the third one is to make the desk time user experience as good as possible. That's the number one, that's the number one what we should do at the moment when we talk and think about growing, about the competitors, because this is a huge thing, user experience for any digital business.
Yeah,
users need to understand your brand, your tool, your program, your functions, everything very, very good. And it should be intuitive, and it should be without the bugs that, for example, I yesterday tried to buy one thing from the e-commerce store, and it showed that I had an error when I mm-hmm. pressed the pay button. But in few seconds, I see that the money is gone from my bank account. So what just happened? I paid or didn't pay, or what I need to pay again or what? So without such
and you'll
user,
probably not use it again. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So so such problems we don't want to see in the desk time. We want to fix before that, and we want to do better user experience.
Yeah, and that is especially important in a in an industry that is as competitive as yours. Can you tell me, have you seen, let's say, some differences between the users that are, let's say, using your products in Europe as opposed to users from the America or some other parts of the world? What are they focused on the most? What kind of support do they need?
Yeah, of course, there are differences, starting from the behavior of them and finishing up with how the product is used. And what I mentioned in the beginning, that we, from the day one, are on employee side, and we want to educate and do it right with the time management and tool like us, that it helps for employees, for business owners, for everyone. But of course, we see this demand from specific regions of the world that are in need of tools that show more deeper, more privacy information about their employees, and they need to see each second or each minute of how employees perform, because it's very mm-hmm. it's their behavior on the specific regions. And if we wouldn't add such features, we would just not be in those regions. And of course, from the business side, we can't afford that. But still, we are doing our educational job, that we try to educate that or those specific regions of how to better use time management tools, how to better communicate with their employees, and how to deal with problematic employees or issues with time tracking or with attendance or stuff like that. So desk time can fix that all and can show all the needed data, but that's how it differs from where customer comes from. Is it a European customer, or is it a US customer, or is it South? Mm-hmm.
South America, North America,
But or is it an Asian customer? So mm-hmm. It's very different. So, and that's our how our customer support and sales are trained to understand their culture, and how to talk to them, and how, what to suggest and what to introduce. And
Because that always seems to be the problem with time tracking tools. Employees are scared of using them because they think their employers are constantly controlling them. And on the other hand, you have employers who think they need to. You always need to have a sort of freedom to do your work and to have that trust between an employee and the employer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're like telling all the truth, all the correct things that we are working on every day, and we try to educate how to start this communication about if you as a business owner or manager want to introduce time tracking your team, how to do it right, and what should be the actions or how to read data. And I think people mostly are afraid or even not afraid or surprised when they first see data of their employees. But that's, in general, it's nothing new. It's always been like that. It's just something that you didn't see. But now, when you see those data, you can now think how to make it better, how to grow, and how to do more productive things, more effective, more hours or stuff like that. But it's not something that you now need to monitor or push your employees or like.
A lot of your competitors are focused on pushing out new features, more features, new features constantly, some upgrades on the features. But you're one of the few that really focuses on that education part. Okay, we have that base set of features that is needed, and now we're going to educate you on how to use them properly.
Yes, exactly. So that's something that with the user experience and everything, we add new features, but these are not global new things or products. We just make the user experience easier. If you need more filters, more options, more reports, or more something details, we can do that. And these are our new functions, features that your life would be easier and you would not waste too much time on reports or something else.
Exactly. Okay, Toms, we're almost done with our time. So I have just one more question before we end. Can you tell me what you, as a CEO of a successful company, would say to new startup owners who are just looking to launch their products or launch their startups? What kind of advice would you give to them?
Yeah, one, definitely the first one is don't wait too long. So, and our approach is that done is better than perfect. So launch it something, do it, push it out, and at least you will be live, you will have some customers coming in, you will get some feedback, you will have user experience, you will be start rolling without only making it better yourself. It's not going to work very good. So you will lose time, you will lose money, you will maybe go too far away from what you wanted to do in the first place. That's the number one. And the second one, from a growth perspective, I would definitely recommend you to start with SEO in the first day or even two years before you launch the product. Start with the content, start with the marketing, and educate and write blogs, write content, landing pages about the important topics about your product.
Yeah, that's great advice. Toms, thank you once again for joining me on the podcast and for sharing all of these great insights.
Thank you, Dorian.
And we are done. If you stuck with us until the end, here are a few key takeaways from this episode that I want you to remember. Number one, if you're looking to launch your product in a competitive market with a lot of competition that offers solutions that are similar to yours, you need to provide users with an extra value. This can be done through education, entertainment, or ideally a combination of the two. Number two, start talking about your product and the problem it solves months before you have it ready and live on the market. By creating content about it, you can start educating your users. And when you launch your product, you'll already be top of mind and you won't have to start from scratch. And number three, done is better than perfect. instead of waiting to make your product as perfect as it can be, which often leads to never putting your product into the hands of users, you need to stop chasing perfection and just launch it. By doing that, you'll get some users, you'll get feedback, you'll see what you did great, you'll see what your users want and what you need to fix in order to make your product better. This approach will put you on the path towards success. Now, before you sign off, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done that already, so you'll get notified when we publish new episodes. And leave us a review if you enjoy this podcast and you'll learn something new. It'll be highly appreciated. Also, if you want to be a guest on the show, shoot me an email or hit me up on LinkedIn. My contact information is down in the description. And that's it. I'm Dorian. You've been listening to Highway to Scale, and I'll see you all in the next episode.